Hey guys, I'm Eric McLean.
And I'm Kelly Gramlich. It's time to talk some ACC sports.
Let's go!
Welcome in, everybody, and happy Friday here on Gramlich and McLean. We've got a busy, busy, busy ACC football weekend. A lot of really interesting games. Could be a possible separation Saturday, is what I've heard.
Another one,
say.
Right? Back to back.
Right?
Come on, Kelly. It's just, that's what you get when you have these, you know, just all conference games, throw in a non-conference for fun, but everybody has to play everybody. And, you know, it's going to be really cool to keep seeing these Saturdays. Because I was looking ahead of the schedule. It's loaded. I mean, there are just great games all throughout this entire season. And, man, we've got another really good one this weekend.
No doubt about it. And before we get into this weekend, we want to remind you guys, first of all, the support for the podcast has been awesome. Truly. We really didn't have any expectations. We didn't know what to expect at all. We just wanted to talk about ACC sports and decided, well, let's record it and we'll put it out there and see what happens. But we appreciate it so much. Rate, review, subscribe on Apple Podcasts if you haven't already. If you have, thank you. If you've listened, thank you. We're just very appreciative over here behind the microphone. And, you know, you brought up how last weekend, Mac, could have felt like a little bit of a separation Saturday, and now maybe this one is too. I keep forgetting, and maybe I just need to kind of change my mindset here, but we're what, 5 games into the season for some, 4, that kind of thing. It's October 22nd. You know, most of the time, October 22nd, right, you're a lot deeper in, but we are getting close. It's going to be November soon enough. That's how calendars work, Mac. And then we're going to get to an ACC championship game. And it feels like we're almost there. So it's kind of crazy in that regard that it, in some ways it feels like the season just started, but it also feels like these games, especially this weekend, Halloween, and the next weekend, are super important for a lot of these teams.
Yeah, no doubt. And like you said, the season feels like it is flying by. I mean, I looked up and here we are pretty much close to that mid-season point, and it's just good game after good game after good game. So you're right, Kelly. It needs to slow down because, again, we're going to look up and we're going to be halfway through basketball season, and it's just like, where did the year go? But, you know, a lot of people are ready to get out of 2020. So maybe this is a good thing that we've got the fast forward button kind of pressed down.
That is
right
what
now.
They say, Mac. Want to get over 2020. And I don't blame them. Before we jump into our big three, we got some great big three games today in the film, the Blank Friday. I just want to tell you just a little inside baseball here because we're releasing this Friday morning. We are recording Thursday afternoon. Mac, just tell the people your schedule today, some behind the scenes, the life of a ACC Network football superstar.
No, something like that. But it was a long day. You know, a ton of radio today from basically 10 a.m. to about 12:45. I was doing various interviews. And it wasn't like, you know, one long thing. It was like six. Mm-hmm. Interview here, 10 minutes. Interview there, 10 minutes. Interview here. And just really all around the country. We went all the way up to New York. We went down to South Carolina, Georgia area, and everywhere in between. A lot of Virginia people I was talking to today. Again, a couple of really good matchups there for Virginia Tech and the success that they've had. And of course, UVA taking on Miami. So it was a lot of fun just talking with a bunch of different people. And I was actually on another podcast with the BC offensive lineman,
Mac, you went
Alec
on
Lindstrom.
Podcast without me?
Well, I didn't know if I should tell you or not. You know, I said, can Kelly come with me? And they said, no girls allowed.
No,
I said,
girls,
that's crazy. I'm not doing it.
Wait, okay. In but all seriousness, you went on it. So Alec has his own pod.
Yeah.
That's
so like,
awesome.
It's really cool how the football team, the athletic department, like supports it. It's on their platforms and he's the host and it's called Listen Up My Dudes. And he said, hey, do you want to come on this? I said, absolutely. So a couple of offensive linemen, of course, you could probably guess what we talked about. Food. The smoking pig came up a couple of different times. And, you know, we just talked about different things in life. So it was a lot of fun. And again, now to here we are recording a podcast and we've got a little TV tonight. So if somehow you hear this before it's released, I'll be on All ACC Thursday night at 9 p.m. Can't wait.
And actually today, Friday when you're listening in the future, you can go watch the replay on ESPN.com.
That's right.
If you go to the replay right. part, you can watch the replay. There you go.
We're just in a fifth dimension over here playing around with past, present, future. It gets hairy.
Time is just a construct, Mac. You know, yeah, what? Right. Who even knows what time it is? Okay. Big three. Let's go. Mac, can I get a let's go for this Friday?
Let's go, Kelly.
Gosh, I'm so hyped up. Okay. The first game of our big three, the one game this weekend between two ranked teams in the ACC. Number 23, NC State at number 14, North Carolina. This is a nooner on ESPN. North Carolina, last I looked, 15.5 point favorite, which surprised me a little bit. But we know Devin Leary won't be playing. This guy, Devin Leary, has to date the third best QBR in the ACC. He's out. You're going to bring in Bailey Hockman. North Carolina in a bounce back spot, coming off a loss to Florida State. Still favored by that many points. It's a little puzzling. What do you expect to see in this game, Mac?
You know, I think we are going to see a big bounce back from UNC. I mean, again, not wasting an opportunity, but you kind of did. You were ranked 5 in the country. You're on the national stage, and then you just, you know, absolutely flop the way that you did and giving up huge amount of points, 31 first half points. Of course, you shut them out in the second half. But, you know, I expect to see them respond very positively. I don't think it was a complacency thing a week ago. I don't think that coaching staff would allow that to happen. I just think Florida State had a day, and that was their best day in like the last 5 years. We haven't seen them play like that in a very, very long time. So, you know, good and bad. It's obviously great to see that. It was FSU's defense just that good that they shut you down in the first half? I don't think so. I just think there were some things not happening, a blocked punt, a pick six that, you know, Sam has probably thrown that pass 100 times and there's never been a defensive end there. And they just happen to call a perfect coverage where they drop a defensive end into the flats and the ball hits him right in the stomach and he houses it. So I think that's what we aren't going to see from NC State. I think that we're really going to see UNC's defense, again, play to your potential. We saw it against Syracuse. We saw it in the second half against Florida State. There's so much talent on that side of the ball. I really think those guys are going to step up and just find a way to win for their offense. NC State, they have found a way to win in all of these games. They've just done it in a multitude of different ways, whether it's the run game, the passing game, some combination of both. And we're going to find out how much does it matter that Devin Leary's out. You know, when you have a team that is as gritty as NC State is right now, and they just, again, keep finding ways to do it, you know, maybe one guy doesn't quite matter, but it's an important position. And obviously a lot of things center around quarterback play. Defensively, you have a huge challenge this week. You know, again, this is a team to me that statistically, when you look on paper, it doesn't match up with what I look and see on film. I mean, they have so much talent, so many guys just running around making huge plays. And then I look at the stat sheet and you gave up 450 yards, 35 points. And I'm just like, what is happening? Like, how is this translating this way? I really like their linebacker core. Peyton Wilson is just, he's a great football player. And you know, I'm sure in practice every day, I would have fought that guy because he goes after the whistle a lot. But he's a fantastic player and he gets the job done. He's one of those guys, like, you love him when he's on your team, you hate him when he's on the other.
For sure.
But just a fantastic player. Drake Thomas is all over the field. And then again, Isaiah Moore. So three really solid linebackers that have combined for over 123 tackles together. They're really fighting for that top spot unit-wise in the linebacking core. So I'm liking what I'm seeing.
This is a big challenge for them to slow down North Carolina's offense, and the linebackers will be key. There's no doubt about that, Mac. Quick tangent, because I have to know, who did you fight in practice back in the day?
Who do you think? Who do you think I fought the most?
Oh, man. Grady?
It's probably a really easy answer.
Jared?
No, I'm too afraid to fight Grady. Heck no. It was a linebacker.
Oh.
Ben Bowler. We used to go at it all the time. It was so funny. There was one practice where we fought. Literally, it was like Boy Scout Day. In Death Valley, all these kids, we're supposed to be this shining light example. And Ben and I were going at it, and he probably threw the first punch. And if you hear this, Ben, you're welcome to come on the show anytime and defend your honor. But I probably threw the second one, and then literally the whole team collided. And I'll never forget, Coach Sweeney made us run so much that day. Just because, again, we probably embarrassed the heck out of him.
No.
Fighting in front of – these kids that are there with like their dads and trying to have a great day. And it was embarrassing. But yeah, Ben and I would go at it pretty often.
That is an amazing story. But you're not fighting Grady Jarrett, and I don't blame you.
No.
Who in their right mind would fight Grady Jarrett?
This dude is 300 pounds. Yeah, 300 pounds with a 12-pack, highest paid defensive tackle in the NFL. No, I'm not interested in fighting that guy.
Hey, Mac, we appreciate your honesty.
I like living way too much.
And yes, Ben, if you want to come on the show and you and Mac can hash out your old fights.
Open invitation. Come on,
we're here.
Man.
We're here. All right, fill in the blank Friday. We're going to start with NC State, North Carolina. NC State is the underdog in this game by 15.5, which again, I still think is crazy. NC State can win the game if.
NC State can win this game if they can create turnovers and chaos for Sam Howell. I think that's the biggest thing you have to do. Get him uncomfortable. Get him in positions where he's confused at what he's looking at. Do not let those guys just march up and down the field, because you're not going to be able to hang in a scoring match. You're not going to be able to put up 35 plus points. You just can't do it. I've seen it, especially with Leary out. That's going to be a problem. So you've got to get to him, pressure him, and force some turnovers.
I like that, Mac. I like it. All right. Our next game in the Big Three. This one, some people might not be as excited. They might ask, why is this Big Three?
I was embarrassed that I told you to put this as one, but.
No, I like it.
It's going to be a good game.
I like
game,
it.
I
this
think.
Is
I think it's going to be
Louisville. Is it Louisville at Florida State, or is it Florida State at Louisville?
Florida State.
Yeah, I wrote
Louisville
that down wrong.
At winless ACC Louisville. 0-4 Louisville is a game of the week, a Big Three game for us. Are you kidding
me? I like it, Mac. And you know what this reminds me of? Whenever I think of FSU at Louisville, I think of the 2016 game when Florida State went there and got absolutely shellacked. And Clemson was watching that thinking, oh my gosh, Lamar Jackson he is unbelievable. But everyone was, you know, people forget Louisville was favored against Clemson just 4 years ago in Death Valley. And it was mainly because of how they just destroyed Florida State in that game. So the two programs in different positions right now. I've read that Jordan Travis will play. Have you heard much about Jordan Travis? We know he's the key for Florida State at this point offensively.
He's the key. And, you know, I've seen a bunch of stuff that says he'll be ready. Mm-hmm. He's going to play. But my eyes know what they saw, and they saw his arm dangling,
couldn't use it,
barely
basically.
Attached, it looked like. Right. Like, is this guy going to be able to throw a pass? I don't know. So we'll see. He's the key, I think, to Florida State having any kind of success this year. A mobile quarterback, a guy that can run around. It changes your offense. You know, he can extend plays. He frustrates a defense having to run around, chase this guy, tiring out a defense. So he's going to be the difference maker, I think. If he plays and if he's healthy, I think you have to be feeling good about, you know, really a lot of your chances for the rest of the year. It was funny. We were like kind of looking at the schedule at one point, trying to count the wins. Like, where are they? I'm not sure. Definitely didn't think UNC would be one of them. So now that he has kind of showed, hey, I can really make a difference with what I can do offensively with my legs, again, extend plays, keep his eyes downfield, make big passes. So you've got to be kind of feeling good about that if he's fully healthy. The offensive line impressively looked good. I haven't seen that in 5 years. We talk about a lot of things we haven't seen in quite a long time from FSU, but it was just for a half. I need to see it for a full game where those guys, again, pass blocking very well, moving guys out of the way. That running attack was tremendous in the first half. And then similar to the offensive line, the defense, I mean, they put together a brilliant half of football. They shut it down. Shut it down, as Kelly likes to say, for that UNC team. But I only saw it for, you know, 25 minutes. I need to see it for 60. I need to see a full game where you guys can go out there and dominate. You've obviously shown you can do it. Again, talent-wise, we've mentioned two or three times on the show, they're going to have two or three first-round draft picks on defense, and you're going to be sitting here scratching your head saying, I didn't see that on the field. What's going on? You did see it in that first half. Need to see it for a full game. I think that's how they can really make a difference. Louisville, I hate to say this. I'm a big Cards fan. L's up, whatever you got to do. But they might be the biggest disappointment of the ACC so far.
Yeah,
there was so much expectations. Yeah, especially of the offense. You had so much coming back. I'm really confused on why they can't figure it out. It's really a lack of explosion. Mm-hmm. Tutu Atwell is averaging almost half of what he did yards per catch last year. Cunningham, not as explosive through the air. The offensive line, I know you took a hit with losing such a massive prospect, literally and figuratively, at your left tackle, but they look good against Notre Dame. So ultimately, that coaching staff's going to figure it out. They have one of the best offensive coordinators, offensive line coaches, and Dwayne Ledford leading that group. So I know they'll be fine. Defense, you had your best performance of the year, but it was a loss. And so I don't want to celebrate that. I don't want to talk about all the great things we did because it was an L. You know, I think you can obviously build on it and you can build some confidence on it, but let's not go around, you know, holding this trophy up that says we almost did it. So I think we need to just see more from those guys. Ultimately, have no clue what's going to happen in the game.
You could ask the question.
With all that being
said. Right. And no, I think you're right with Louisville because, you know, you asked some questions about their offense. You score 7 points. To say that this Louisville team was going to score 7 points in a game for the year would be really puzzling. But they only gave up 12 to Notre Dame. And we have our questions about Notre Dame's offense. We'll get to that in our next game. But I think you can build off of that. It begs the question for me with Louisville, and I think a lot of this has to do with coaching. It's a Satterfield-Norvell kind of matchup here. How desperate is Louisville? Have they kind of accepted their fate that this year just ain't it and it's not going to work out like the way they want? Or are they that desperate to get this win? And I would ask the same question about Florida State. I'm worried about Florida State with such a young program and a culture that is not really cemented there. Can they handle this win? I really don't know about FSU.
Yeah, and that's what's going to be so interesting to see. You know, I think for Louisville, I think the culture that they quickly were able to get intact, the people that they have around there, the players. I mean, you've heard about just how much these guys love that coaching staff. I do not think that they're jumping ship and saying, this season's over, we're moving on at all. I think these guys are going to fight tooth and nail. And, you know, we might see them, you know, try to go undefeated for the rest of the season and feel really good about it. So I don't think that with Louisville, with FSU, you know, you would think that they have enough leadership, enough guys who have been there in key positions. You know, Scary Terry, I know he's hurt, but still a big-time player, big Marvin Wilson. I hope and want to see those guys step up and say, we got to go back to work. We got to watch film. It's great that we got this win, but there's so much more that we have to do. And if they turn this thing around and go 6-4, you know, I think you got to feel really good about it. I know that's shocking to say, to ever say that about Florida State, but that's quite frankly where we are.
No, and I agree. And remember, they're 1-3 overall, so they do have a little bit of a hole to climb out of. And Louisville is the favorite in this game, weirdly enough. I believe I'm right by saying that. So yeah. They're both underdogs. Well, let's go with Florida State because they are on the road. Florida State can win this game if.
Florida State can win this game if Jordan Travis is healthy. That's what it comes down to. If he can run around, if he can move, if he can still throw the ball at a high level, you know, I think they've got a really, really good chance. If not, if you're putting, you know, James Blackman back in there, who's going to be a statue, Louisville's going to try and send it and really confuse him and put him in adverse situations. So if Jordan Travis is healthy and you can get that running game going, you've got to feel really good about your chance.
I thought it was pretty telling that Jordan Travis's arm was hanging off of his body and James Blackman never went in the game. So unless Jordan Travis actually can't play, I don't think we'll see. But if we do see James Blackman, to your point, that's a problem, Mac. Our final
100%.
Yeah, for sure. Our final big three game of the weekend here. And of course, the three comes from me. I like to shoot threes. And then Mac, he played basically his whole career in a three-point stance. Boom.
That's right. Come on, Kelly.
Look at that. Everything has a double meaning here on Graham Lick and Mac Lane.
That's right.
All right. Number three, Notre Dame at Pittsburgh. Notre Dame is a 10.5-point favorite. This is a 3:30 p.m. game on ABC. And the big matchup I see here, Mac, is Notre Dame, who has been running the ball at an incredibly impressive clip. Part of it is that's all they can do. They can't pass it. And then Pittsburgh, on the flip side, has the best rush defense in the ACC. Something has to give. Kenny Pickett is out as of now. What do you see happening with this one?
Yeah, you know, I think we're really going to find out a lot about Notre Dame. Can they step up when they have to and really get some production on the outside? Because like you said, that defensive pit, they are going to be locked in. They know that you don't want to throw it. They know you want to run it. And they're going to stand tall. That defense played lights out minus three or four plays against Miami. I mean, I went back and watched that film time and time again, and it was just – It's like, man, you're so close. There was 3 to 4 things that if you just did it a little bit differently, if your eyes were in the right place in this position, if Paris Ford was screaming at a guy, I don't know if he was wrong, but Paris Ford screaming at a guy saying, what are you doing? This guy, that's your man. And he's showing the signal. So, you know, I have to think that they're just so close. The score was not reflective of that game.
That game was close.
They had to settle for so many. Yeah, they had to settle for so many field goals. It was wild. So I think this one, can I go ahead and say it? Can I go ahead and say upset alert for Pitt? Look at Pitt's history.
Upset alert.
They always have somebody that they upset. It's normally Penn State. 1 year it was Clemson.
Miami 1 year.
They do this. Right. And so this, yeah, Coach Rick, sorry if you're listening, Coach. I know we bring that up all the time. It's not fair for you. Kenny Pickett was somehow still playing or is still playing since
what
that game.
What does Coach Rick say about that game when it is brought up?
You know, he sheds a little tear and then just mans up and says, you know, they were just the better team that day. But he does not like it because we bring it up all the time. And he said it last time. He said, why do we always pick on me? And I said, Coach, you have the most experience.
That's true.
And you have, you know, all kind of different things to pick on. You know, EJ and I were so limited. So it's funny when that happens. But that's what I'm seeing. And I see Pitt, you know, really just pulling out this crazy home effort, getting a dub. I'd be a lot more confident in that if Kenny was playing. Yeah. I'm assuming that he is out because I haven't seen anything, you know, anywhere on social media. So I'm assuming that he's out. But Pitt, I mean, that if they did what they did a week ago and caused turnovers, created this advantageous field position, then Pitt can win the game. So if not, if they just hold them, it's going to be tough. I'm thinking like 6-3. It's going to be very low scoring.
Oh, riveting.
But right. It's going to be an interesting game to say the least. But in the same breath, this could be Notre Dame's kind of welcome out party saying, hey, we've got dudes on the outside. We can make these plays. We've got a three-year starter at quarterback who has command of this offense. We just haven't seen it, and maybe this is it.
I would love to see that from Notre Dame. I really would.
Right.
But, you know, all I'm asking from Notre Dame this week is don't put me to sleep, because that's what happened to me last week. I fell asleep in the third quarter because the offense was tough to watch. Okay.
Kelly, on this podcast, we do not like defense.
Exactly.
Sadly enough, you might not want to watch that game because I'm thinking it's going to be a lot of defense.
Well, then I'll watch and I'll fall asleep. Okay.
Good
fill
night.
The blank Friday for this one. Pittsburgh can beat Notre Dame if.
I kind of gave away my answer already. Pittsburgh can win the game. They can beat Notre Dame if they create turnovers, if they create that field position, and maybe even score. You know, go get a pick six or go knock a ball loose and pick it up and score. I think that's what it's going to have to take, especially with your guy, Kenny Pickett, not able to play again, assuming that. So we'll see. But it's going to be all about the Pitt defense, you know, just creating opportunities to win the game.
Awesome. Okay. Speed round time, Mac.
Dun-dun-dun.
Oh, give me, what's our sound effect for this?
that was kind of Sports Center. And then I was like, we might get sued if I'd finish that. So I shut it down.
I like the speed round.
Speed
yes,
round.
There we go. That's perfect. Okay. Syracuse at Clemson on ACC Network at noon. Clemson is a 46-point favorite.
I think it's 46. 46
and a half. And a half point that. Favorite. This is going to be a bloodbath. Mac, any thoughts?
Yeah. You know, the biggest question that I honestly have for this game is last week, the largest margin of victory between ACC teams happened. I'm interested to see if that record lasts more than a week if it happens consecutively where Clemson just absolutely blitzes these guys. I love Syracuse. Last year, I was your, you know, knight in shining armor, was riding the train saying, Cuse is going to win 10-plus games. And you just absolutely made me look silly. So I'm never going to say that. No, I'm just kidding. But up till now, you know, I think if you're Cuse, man, where you are injury riddled, you know, things not going your way, your two best players are out maybe for the season. Just go out and give great effort. Go out, have fun playing football. You never know what can happen. You have to play the game. It's not a round ball. That thing bounces strange ways. And you never know what you can do to a team. But it's going to be a tough, tough challenge. Trevor Lawrence, I mean, probably won the Heisman last week. I mean, he just absolutely balled out. Hard to think what he would have done if he played a full game of football. The offense in total humming. guys stepping up all over the field. It's been really impressive to see what the tight ends have done. Davis Allen, Braden Galloway there. So they're on another level, and it's going to be really hard. By the way, Syracuse has given up 24 sacks in five games. Those young defensive linemen up front are going to go nuts. So look out, Syracuse might be a
tough
one.
And we might see more Xavier Thomas, which is something to watch too.
Right.
Brent.
Close your ears, Syracuse fans. Stop listening.
Our guy Brent, who I think you went on his radio show up in Syracuse.
Jimmy Greenbeans? Is that he? Oh, Brent Axel. Yeah. My guy.
I was like, no, not Venables. he came on our radio show today and he said that I asked him to compare Syracuse this year with their injuries to NC State last year with their injuries. And Brent said it's like five times worse. That's how much worse it is.
I mean, when it's quarterback and
Cisco tore his ACL in warmups.
Right.
Guys.
Yeah. It's tough. And it's unfortunate. Again, you never want to see a team, just totally riddled with injury like that. But it's a violent game. And, we all know it when you start playing.
Yes, definitely. All right. Three more in the speed round. Number 19, Virginia Tech at Wake Forest, 3:30 p.m. on ESPN3. Kind of surprised by that. Virginia Tech is Virginia Tech's a 9-point favorite. Wake is one of the worst in the league in terms of run defense.
In the country. You can put an asterisk there and say country.
So I'm a little concerned about how they're going to stop Virginia Tech's rushing attack, Mac.
Yeah, hey, it's all aboard the Hendon Hooker hype train, the rushing attack train. Oh my goodness, it could get bad. The only way that, Wake really has a chance here is if they can match and score either as quicker, whatever you have to do. It's going to be an offensive game. So much different than Pitt Notre Dame. This one's going to be all about offense if Wake Forest wants to have a chance to win this game. Because like you said, I don't think they have a shot of slowing these guys down. They just are very bad at stopping the run right now. And Virginia Tech, that offensive line is balling. It is a dream situation right now. You've got a dynamic backfield, a quarterback that can run it, a running back that is, entering Heisman conversations. So if you're a big man, just go run. Just go hit somebody. Go downfield. Keep going. You never know when those guys are going to break out a 60-plus yard touchdown. So it's going to be really interesting to see. Again, if you're Wake Forest, Sam Hartman having a little bit of a coming out party. So seeing him eclipse, 300 yards last week. And you've got two really good running backs that, they just kind of trade off. Hey, do you want to go for 100 plus and three touchdowns? No, you take it this week. So they've done that three games in a row now. And, they're two really special guys. But slowing down that run, I think that's going to be the Achilles heel for Wake.
It's definitely going to be the key for Wake Forest. That game is at Wake, so maybe something there. But, of course, it's COVID, so what does home field even mean these days?
Right.
Georgia Tech at Boston College, 4 p.m. on ACC Network. Boston College, 3.5-point favorite. Both teams are coming off tough losses. Georgia Tech's coming off a loss that maybe blew up their confidence. Boston College is just coming off a loss that hurt their confidence. Is that going to be at play here, Mac?
I think for Boston College, you just can't give away the ball. Yeah. I mean, they had some silly turnovers. Some really
against Virginia Tech.
Yeah, some really bad turnovers. I mean, you talk about there was a play where they had a motion. The tight end runs into the quarterback. The quarterback's falling down, tries to pitch the ball. It's supposed to be a handoff. Hits the running back in the face. And it's just like, it was a total bad news bear play. I wish we could show you guys and draw it up how silly it looked.
Oh, no.
Just things like that you can't do. And Georgia Tech, they'll take advantage of those opportunities. I mean, we saw against Louisville, they'll take a turnover and go straight down the field. So you have to protect the ball if you're BC. I think they're going to bounce back and win this game. The more I dove into Boston College, you're starting to see the limitations this offense has. Not very explosive. I know we'll hit one or two bomb passes. But other than that, it's like 23 points a game. We can't even get into the end zone on a big basis. You think of an air raid attack, you're thinking of a ton of points, and that just hasn't been the case. So those guys have to step up, get that ball in the end zone. But I think Boston College is going to win.
This would tell me a lot about Jeff Collins if he could get Georgia Tech to win this game. I think it would be quite the statement just from a program perspective and what they're building.
No doubt.
All right, final game of the weekend. This is the primetime matchup on ACC Network. Virginia at number 11, Miami. Miami's a 12.5-point favorite. And Mac, I need to know more. I can't wait to see the second iteration of Virginia's three-quarterback system because I've heard of two quarterback systems. I know all about a one-quarterback system. three quarterback system, that is that's something, Mac. That's something.
You know, it limits you just so much because
the name of the game should expand your versatility.
Right. Let's get more. Let's get four or five in there. Let's see what happens. Yeah, right. So it just makes you limited, though, because, again, you have to substitute all the time. Okay, we're going to do a quarterback run. Oh, we got to bring this guy in. And now you ruin the surprise. You ruin the fluidity of the offense and the scheme. I mean, you can't do the things that you want to do with Armstrong at quarterback, with Bryce Perkins at quarterback. Oh, slow down. We want to do tempo, but slow down. We've got to bring, you know, two new guys in. So it's something that's not going to work. I hate multiple quarterback systems, but if that's what you have to do to move the ball, you know, why not? I don't understand why they don't just try and run it more. I guess you want the extra hat, you want the extra blocker. You've got two really good running backs that, you know, that's their job. It's in the job description, run the ball, running back. So just hand it off to them. But, you know, we'll see. It was good to see Miami bounce back, get a win. I thought it was an ugly win. We talked about it earlier. Outside of a couple of really explosive plays, I thought Pittsburgh really stoned them up front. We're starting to see those flaws from the offensive line that, you know, I wasn't so sure that they were all solved with a transfer. You know, when you have such a special player like King, he can disguise it, he can hide it, but only for so long. And I know you just played, you know, two of the best defenses in the ACC, but it started to pick up and it started to shine. So maybe that's going to be the difference there. But just offensively, Miami, get back to where you were pre-Clemson, hitting on all cylinders, explosive in the run game, explosive in the pass game, and we'll see if they can do that against Virginia because they'll have a really good chance.
Just keep winning, Miami. Just keep winning at this
point.
That's right. Stay in the top 15, maybe move up into the top 10. But that's always the fear with Miami, especially the last like 15 years. They're going to lose to someone they shouldn't. And that's really going to show me a certain level of maturity with Miami. If you guys cannot lose to a team that you are supposed to win, that's the next step, I think, for Miami at this point.
I agree with you. And again, just seeing the leadership, the way that they have reacted to games, again, not pointing fingers, not yelling and screaming. I'm right there with you. I think this is the next step, is to take care of these type of games at home, because in the past you've lost them. Mm-hmm. So I'm right there with you, Kelly.
All right, guys, it's going to be a great weekend. We're super excited to watch. Get at us on Twitter, at Kelly Graham, like at Come Eric MacLean. Mac's going to be working pretty much the whole day. I'm going to work early, and then I'm going to be chilling hard. So we'd be happy to respond, talk some ball over Twitter. We're looking forward to that.
No doubt about it. Guys, thanks for listening. If you haven't already, go over to iTunes, wherever you find your podcast. Subscribe, drop us a rating, any review. We'd appreciate it. But until next time, we'll see y'all.